Welcome to church this morning. It's wonderful to be able to join here together in person and with those who are listening in remotely. So all are welcome, and we appreciate you all being with us in whatever way you can. We're a group of people mostly from the local area who've come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus, and to take our part in the building of his church. We will praise and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word, and pray for the world and for ourselves. I'm going to open our time together with a word of prayer, so please pray with me. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The mission focus for this month continues to be the work of the Bush Church Aid Society, and particularly with the Pharisee family, who are our link missionaries there and based in Kununurra. So we continue to encourage us as a prayerful community to be praying for them this month. And if you'd like to support them financially, there are envelopes at the end of each pew to be able to do that as well. And then our focus through Anglicare is on the work of hospital chaplains and locally in Concord Hospital with David Anthonez, who spoke here a couple of weeks ago, and we appreciate his work as well. Now, as Christians, we worship a beautiful Saviour who reigns over all. So let's stand now and sing in praise of our risen Saviour, who is the way, the truth, and the light. So please stand and we'll sing Beautiful Saviour.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Now, Trevor, do you want to come up and just share with us a little bit about what we're going to hear later on?
Yeah, thanks, David. Just a quick little announcement. We're going to learn three things today from our Bible teaching and at Kids Church and here today. We're going to hear about this mean guy called Saul again, who actually doesn't like Christians at all. And then we're going to hear more about how God changes this man. And then we're going to think about, well, how can we trust somebody like Saul to tell us about Jesus when he didn't like Christians in the first place? So they're the three things that we're going to be learning about today. Thanks, David.
Fantastic. Thanks, Trevor. I'm going to pray now for the kids before they go out for Kids Church. Lord God, we thank you that you do change lives, that we see that in what we're hearing today, and that you can do that for all of us, no matter how old we are. We bring before you the children this morning, and we ask that they'll be able to learn great things from your word. Amen.
Amen.
So as the kids go out, what if everyone just says hello to the people next to you? And it's great to see you this morning. So as I said before, we've come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. When we gather together, we acknowledge our sinfulness before our sovereign Father. Psalm 14 tells us, "The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." Sadly, we are still sinful, but praise be to God that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. And before we hear from Kay reading the Bible passages for today, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The Bible readings from Acts 9, 1 to 22. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks.
Thank you, Kay. Before we hear from Trevor, let's say this creed based on Philippians chapter 2. So please stand and we'll say the creed together. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, thanks, David. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see you all again, and welcome to any visitors that might be here today or listening in to our service and our Bible teaching this morning. Please open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through to 22, as we think on this passage of Scripture that's before us in our sermon series, that we may be certain of the things we have been taught from Luke and Acts Gospel. And today's sermon title is called Saul, an unexpected but Christ-chosen instrument. How do you react when people change? I suppose it depends on a number of things. For starters, it depends on the person who has changed and what they have changed from to. For example, if a friend who has never offered to pay for your regular weekly coffee together in all the time that you've known them suddenly picks up the bill and to top it off says, "My shout from now on," we'd probably be pleasantly surprised and happy at the sudden turnaround. Or if the boss, who knows you work very hard but never had an encouraging, thankful word to say to you, calls you into their office one day and says, "I'm sorry, I've never said this to you before, but thank you. Thank you for your dedication to this company. It hasn't gone amiss." Oh, I suppose we feel grateful, wouldn't we? Or what about the teenager? The teenager who has never shown initiative in helping out around the house comes up and says, "You look tired, Mum. You look exhausted, Granddad. Sit down, relax. I'll bring the washing in and I'll mow the lawn. I'll make the dinner. I'll fix that paling. I've even done my homework." Suspicious? What do you want? That's right. Or your spouse comes home from work with the news that they've thrown the stable job in at the office, that good pay, that secure future, and announces to you that they've got a great plan, a wonderful plan, a sure winner. Peanut growing in the tropics, all right? Anxious? Furious? Angry? How do you react when people change? When someone you'd least expect to change surprises you out of the blue? Well, our section of the Bible from which we're being taught today reads of such a change. What we've heard read to us by Kay this morning is not a man changing, but the changing of a man. I'll say that again. What we're reading this morning is not a man changing, but the changing of a man. A situation those who first would encounter thought it too good to be true. Saul, he was passionate for God's law. He was solid in its theology. He was jealous for God's name, and he was consumed with God's cause. But he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know God. He was the enemy of Christ. He approved the death of Stephen. He incarcerated Christians in Jerusalem, and he was determined to stamp out Christianity in Damascus and wherever he thought God would lead him. This was Saul. This was the Saul who rode to Damascus to persecute fearful Christians. Until one day, he met Jesus. He met the risen Christ. As Christ had done before for those chosen few like him, he met Jesus. And he would become, with them, one of Jesus' trusted witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth here in Abbotsford, as we read his story in the Bible. He would be proclaiming his salvation, God's salvation, day after day, and declaring his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. How was Saul changed? And how are we to react to a change in Saul? He was changed by God's grace, by God's enabling. God changed him. And again, we're seeing the work of God through Acts, the continued ministry of Jesus, changing people from unbelievers to believers by the Spirit, by the work of Christ's Spirit. As they hear the good news of the gospel, repent and to believe. For Saul, it would take a process, as it has for us. First, God taking the initiative to meet Saul. And for him, it's in a vision of Christ with a bright light from heaven there. Look there at verse 3. Falling to the ground and hearing his voice, verse 4. Then There's the realization of living life the wrong way. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul had no idea that all his consuming passion for God's cause against the church was actually against God himself, against Christ. Who are you, Lord? Saul asks, verse 5. I am Jesus, Jesus replies, whom you are persecuting. It would actually do us well here to contemplate the advocacy of what Christ actually said here for us, let alone for those first Christians who first heard these words from Acts. For our understanding and reassurance, for when we think when we're experiencing opposition and when we're experiencing persecution, or we hear of brothers and sisters going through persecution and opposition, it's good for us to contemplate on what Jesus said to Saul there. Because what they are going through, God knows. Because it's not just against us or them, but it's against Jesus himself. It's personal, and God knows. And we can have reassurance of that, that the opposition that we face, that God's people face, is actually opposition against Christ himself. Saul was changed by God's grace, by God's enabling, by meeting Christ, and by the realization of living life the wrong way. But there was still more for Saul to experience in the changing of him. Look there at verse 6. Now get up, Christ said, and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verses 7 to 19 there of Acts there, of Christ actually involves other people in his change. And Saul was to let God work through them in his change. Firstly, there's those who were not like him, who were like him at the start there. His companions on the road, verses 7 and 8 there, look there with me, who most likely had no idea what was going on in Saul's life at the time, but were carried along by God to do God's will unbeknown to them and to take this man to Damascus. Secondly, by those who Saul was to become one like, a Christian, Christians, disciples, followers of Christ, the church, verse 19. In particular, by one man by the name there we read of Ananias, verse 10, who thought it just too good to be true, all right? He says, look there, the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight. Lord, you can just imagine, here he goes, Lord, hang on a tick. Ananias replied, hang on a tick. I think you've got it wrong here. I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. I think you got it wrong, God. I think you got it wrong here. And all the harm he's done. And he has come here with authority, by the way, from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Hang on a tick, Lord. You may know of people who you have known and have become Christians who, though once looked upon the truth of God and Christianity with contempt, now, like yourselves, are believers and furthermore, maybe preachers of the gospel. We look upon them, don't we, with uncertainty at first, disbelief, skepticism. How can this be true? How wonderful it is. But don't you know what they once were? I think we need some reassurance to believe. And this was most likely what other Christians at the time needed to hear. Christians like Ananias, I'm sure, and the other apostles, and for that matter, the whole church there in Jerusalem or in Damascus, for Saul and his exploits were well known, and most likely well known to who was the book written to? Theophilus. And he too is most probably thinking, can I trust this bloke Saul? They needed certainty that this man and what he was now preaching could be trusted. I don't know about you, but every time I actually go under the knife in hospital, and it's not been that many times, but I have to say that I am somewhat anxious, and I think you are too when you go into hospital. But we trust the surgeon. We comfort ourselves we find comfort in prayer and the assurance of God's promises at the time. But what if we knew that surgeon, before they were qualified and chosen in their field of medicine, had murdered someone? How would we react? Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and to the people of Israel. We need some assurance, reassurance to believe. And the reassurance God gave was that Saul was changed. He was changed by God for God's purposes. He wasn't changed by any other person or by himself, but by God himself. Saul can be trusted because I, God, God's saying, not him or not anyone else, Jesus said, have chosen him to bring the truth of God to you, to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, we read there, and their kings, and to the people of Israel, to all people, to us here today at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Saul was changed by God's grace, by God's enabling, by meeting Christ, and by realization of living life the wrong way. It involved others, and Saul was to let God work through them in his change. But ultimately, it was God who changed this man. And we can trust the change to be true, and the things that this Saul would preach as Paul, because Christ Jesus, God himself, chose him and chose him for his purpose and would benefit us to hear the gospel and to come to know Christ too. It seems a strange thing at first, read there, for Jesus to do this. But it's true. And we can trust it to be true. And it's a strange thing too for Jesus to say to Ananias there in verse 16. Look there. I will show him, that's Saul, how much he must suffer for my name. It seems Jesus is suggesting to Ananias punishment of Saul, some vindication of Ananias for the pain and suffering, some cause for Ananias to go and do what Christ was asking him to do. It seems some vindication for Ananias for the pain and suffering Saul had caused on the church. I don't think so. But certainly, Saul will realize one day how much pain he did first cause the church. And we do read in some of the letters of Saul he later wrote, as Paul, as the apostle, of that regret. But what I do take, what I take it is that Jesus here is reminding Ananias and Theophilus and us, if we remember the response back of the apostles, remember when they came back from being persecuted and opposed by the Sanhedrin back in chapter 5, verse 41, you can go and look at that verse up, or 14, I think it is. They came back rejoicing because they had been ones who had suffered for the name of Christ. Saul, Ananias is being reminded here, I take it, in those little verse there, of Saul's oneness with them from now on. Not in causing the suffering, but sharing in the suffering with him. And to see that as a thing to rejoice in, for we share in Christ's suffering. For when we suffer, Christ is suffering personally with us. Do you think of that? Do you remind yourself of that? All right. It's a reminder. We're not alone. He's with us. He feels it too and sees it and knows it. Ananias went to the house and he entered it. Verse 17 we read. He places his hands on Saul and he said, "Brother Saul." Wonder how hard that must have been for him. But I think now he's realizing, "Oh, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again." And I gather that means more than just visual sight, but to know who God is and know who Christ is and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, converted. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. But there was still more for Saul to learn. More he needed in his change. He needed to be discipled. He needed to be one with the disciples and the apostles. And in verse 19, we read there, he spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. We meet Christ too when we meet together. This is valuable time. But it wasn't long, verse 20, and at once we read there, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? Hasn't he come here to take these as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful. The word there is more and more enabled. The word powerful there is enabled, again, by God's grace to be able to baffle the Jews or confuse. How can this be? To get them to question, you know, living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. What changes a man? What changes a person? For a man, some people have said, it's becoming a father. For others, going to war. Ask a woman and she'll probably say a sharp blow to the back of the head with an open hand. But it would take more than a sharp blow to the back of the head to change a man like Saul. What changed Saul was an extraordinary meeting with the risen Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promised Messiah. What changed Saul was God's grace, God's mercy, God's enabling. What changed Saul was by the realization of living life the wrong way, by allowing others to be involved in the discipling, letting God work through them in his change. But ultimately, it was God who changed this man. And we can trust the change to be true. And the things that this Saul would preach as Paul, because Christ Jesus, God, chose him. And chose him for a purpose that would benefit us, to make the truth of God be heard, the gospel preached, and for us to come to know Christ. Praise God. What changed us and that of Theophilus, for who these words were written, was meeting Christ too, but not on a road to Damascus, nor in person as Saul did, but in his word, the Bible, as we heard it read. Read by our parents, by our mother or our father or our grandparents, or a friend who was worried for us about our salvation. We heard the Bible read. We heard it, we may have read it ourselves. We heard it preached, or we heard it taught. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that worked in Ananias and in Saul, worked in us and has opened our closed minds and softened our stubborn hearts. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ by his Spirit continues to do the same today and every day. As we continue to hear the Bible read, he continues to change us to be more and more like Jesus. Not only individually, but brothers and sisters corporately as his family. As we hear God's word preached, taught, read, and as we study it and live by it and encourage one another to do so, for this is a work of Christ in us by his Spirit. Amazing grace it is, for which we can be certain that the things that we have been taught, we can be certain of. Praise God. Amen. I think after the reading of our little psalm together, we sing a song so true as well. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Trevor. So let's say these words from Psalm 96 together, which recognise how God is revealing his salvation day by day to all people. So let's say this together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. And as Trevor said, whilst none of us have had the experience that Saul had in today's passage, we understand the incredible nature of what happened to him that day on the Damascus Road. He was blind, but then he could see. He was an enemy of God and then a child of God. The same is true for us, and we can celebrate that together in our next song, Amazing Grace. So please stand. Trevor's already standing. He's setting the tone. So please stand and let's sing this together.
Saved a wretch like me.
please be seated for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Tina's going to lead us now in a time of common prayer.
Almighty and ever-living God, we humbly come before you to ask for your help in our helplessness, right where we are in this world. As creation groans, waiting for Jesus to come, we also groan. We bring this world before you, O God, you who are sovereign and creator. And we ask that you govern the hearts and minds of those in authority to fulfill your plans and purposes in all the lands across the globe, to lead them to the cross, to lead them to the knowledge of Jesus as Saviour and Lord. We pray for all humankind, especially those suffering poverty, injustice, and the effects of conflicts, especially in the Ukraine. We ask for mercy in this land. We ask for justice, and we ask for freedom, that you may stop the hand of the invader, so that they may have peace and be able to rebuild their lives. We thank you for the faithful church in that land and how they continue to be faithful to you and to help others. Help them in their daily life to keep close to you, to keep their focus on you, so that they may be light and salt among their people. An example of what it is to follow Jesus to other nations. Hear us, good Lord, for we put our trust in you. We pray for Australia, our land, and we particularly think of those in authority in our land, and we ask for integrity and wisdom, especially for the help needed to do that to our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and our opposition leader, Peter Dutton. That decisions would be made in Parliament that are according to your will and for the benefit of the nation, not for selfish purposes. And that you protect our nation from those who seek our downfall. We ask that your gospel here would not be hindered, so that people would know Jesus as Lord. Hear us, good Lord, for we put our trust in you. We pray for those who bring the gospel, sharing your word, and especially here in Australia. And we think of Daniel, Rebecca, Pharisee in Kununurra as they preach, nurture, and disciple people in their church on the other side of the country. Help us not to forget them. Pray that in this busy month, that finding time with you will be able to be met by them. especially in prayer and devotion to your word, to keep them close to you so that they can be ministering to others. May the synod in their area have the wisdom and discernment in deciding on a new bishop at the end of the month, according to your will. We also thank you for Anglicare chaplains, hospital chaplains. And we think of David Anthony's, who worshipped and spoke your word last week here in Concord Hospital. By your grace, O God, equip them to be effective witnesses of your saving message, bringing opportunities to minister to people, to pray with them, to point the way to Jesus. Give them encouragement and sustaining ability in this task, which can be quite challenging, Lord. So we ask this, because we put our trust in you. Hear us, good Lord. Almighty Lord and Saviour, we thank you for all that you've done and continue to do in the lives through the gospel and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Help your worldwide church and our church here in Australia to continue to grow, so the world and the people around us may know Jesus as Lord across the world, across the globe, across our land, O God. May your Spirit sweep across our land to enlighten and engage people to know Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. We thank you for the blessings that we have here at St Andrew's and for the faithfulness of our teachers and leaders, Trevor, Karen, and our Sunday school teachers who minister to the children. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to meet together. We think of the fellow believers who are being persecuted, who cannot always meet in safety like we can. They are part of your church too. And we know that even in Saul's life, how the believers felt uneasy and threatened and how difficult it was. But they put their trust in you. We ask for protection, and that they would be aware of your comfort, O God. Keep them firm in the faith. Thank you that despite persecution, people are coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, because the knowledge of Jesus as Lord changes people. Your Spirit changes hearts and minds. We particularly bring before you North Korea. It's one of the most dangerous places for being a Christian. We particularly pray that Kim Jong-un and other officials in that land would know Jesus, come to faith in Jesus. We know you can change hearts because of Saul and the story we heard this morning and the reality of what that does in the world, the change it brings. So we ask that your Spirit would convict them, that you are God, Jesus is Lord. He is also their Saviour. That they too are not perfect. That they too have not understood that they're doing wrong. They're hurting people. Give them your faith. Soften their hearts to know Jesus. Hear us, good Lord, for we put our trust in you. Almighty Father and Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings that you give us here at St Abbotsford and living in the area that we live in. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be your word and light to all we meet. We especially think of people who are suffering and and are struggling in their lives. And we think particularly of people that we know. And we name them in our hearts to you now. Oh God, let them be aware of your comfort. Relieve them according to their needs. Give them patience and awareness of your presence and comfort. Keep us all here at St. Andrew's, rooted in Jesus. Let our feet stand firm in faith, with the Holy Spirit working in our lives to be more and more like Jesus. And we ask you to accept all these prayers according to your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please join with me in the collect of the day. Father of everlasting goodness, our Creator and guide, be close to us and hear the prayers of all who praise you. Forgive our sins and restore us to life. Keep us safe in your love. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Tina. So a couple of things to draw to everyone's attention. The first one is that coming up in the middle of September, so September 11 and 18, Trevor and Fiona are going to be inviting the children and parents from their scripture classes to join us. And so it would be great if we can be praying for those particular services and be ready to give everyone a very warm welcome who joins us on those days. Next week is the Lord's Supper, so it's appropriate that we are preparing ourselves to be able to take part in the communion event. So just as a reminder that that's coming up next week. If you would like some particular prayer for anything on your heart at the moment, Yung Lan and Dick will be available at the front of the service afterwards. And just draw to the attention of everyone who's on that roster that there's a meeting next week at Fiona's, and that's in the weekly notes, if I can make sure you've seen that. And just to say thank you to everyone for your financial support of the parish. We all know that parishes like ours get no other financial support to be able to operate except what we all provide. So thank you to everyone who's done that already through direct banking means. If you want to provide money directly, there's also an offertory box at the back for being able to do so. And we need to continue to maintain our COVID precautions. So especially after morning tea, if you can get your cup of tea and coffee and then head straight out into the playground, that's a nice way for us to keep each other safe. So thank you for continuing our practices around that. So today we've heard how God makes sure his name is proclaimed by the people who he chooses to do this work. So remember this sentence of scripture for today. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man, Saul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." And now as we finish up, we're going to sing again of God's great love for us. So please stand and we'll sing together, "Your Grace is Strong Enough." Thank you. Please remain standing and let's say this prayer together to prepare us for the week ahead. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning and all the best for the week ahead. Thank you.